Hey, what's up, everyone? Good morning. Good morning. Got a little surprise for you. How many of you are wondering what I'm doing up here already? All right, what's going on? Oh, well, here's Joe again, monkeying with our worship service. He's getting up to preach right now. What do y'all think? Is that okay? All right, good, because we're going to do it anyways. But the kids might be saying, whoa, wait a second. Aren't we supposed to go to Expedition Kids? I don't know if you're worried about that or not. So here's the thing. I am going to preach, and you are going to get to leave in just a minute. But first, I want to tell y'all what we've been doing for the last few weeks. We've been in a series called Jesus Habits, and it's about the core values that Jesus lived and that we live here at CCW. So for the last few weeks, we've been looking at how Jesus lived his life and our core values, because we love to live this out here at CCW as a family. So hopefully, maybe with mom and dad, with your kids, you know, and each other, and your families, you're on the website, or you're looking around on the mobile app, or you're seeing our core values out there and talking about them. A couple weeks ago, Josh got up and talked about real relationships. And as you can see from these icons hanging from the sky, did y'all wonder what these are? No, you know what they are? Huh? I'll tell you what, it took a long time to cut those out with scissors, but it was pretty impressive. Anyway, I digress. Josh got up and talked about real relationships and Jesus' habit of having relationships with people and how we live that out here as our core value. Last week, we talked about selfless service. Again, how Jesus served and how we can serve, and that's one of our core values. And today, we're going to talk about inspired worship, which is this one here. And inspired worship that Jesus lived in his life, and how, again, we live that out as a core value here at CCW. So those are our core values. And what's really cool about inspired worship is that Jesus taught us that authentic, inspired worship is really a matter of the heart. It's where it comes from. And out of love and out of our lives for God, we seek to bring him glory by loving God with all of our heart and soul and mind. So, what is worship? What do we talk about when we talk about worship? Well, I want you to answer that question with the kids in the room. So get ready to answer that question. Y'all good? All right. What is worship to you? But before you do, I want you to watch this video, then answer the question. As soon as you get a good answer, y'all can go to Expedition Kids. All right? Sound good? All right, check this out.
You can worship God all the time, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I can worship while walking in the store.
Walking in the store? Yes.
Worshiping God in church.
Is going to church like a party?
It's God party.
Is the music loud?
Yes.
Yes?
No.
Yes,
yes.
Loud.
No, no,
no.
Hang on a second. I'm confused.
No. Loud.
Loud?
It's more like this. It's more like how I'm talking.
So it's like this.
Do you like sitting still or being active?
Active.
Why?
Because it's funner.
Everyone, show me.
I'll show you.
Two.
What other things could be part of worship?
Reading the Bible.
Reading the Bible, very good.
Loving him.
Loving him, okay.
I can sing louder than anything else.
Wow. That's
not really God.
Loud. So is God good?
Yes. Really, 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 really,
yes.
Really, 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 really good.
Better than the whole universe.
Better than the whole universe?
He can carry the whole universe with
wow.
this.
He's really strong, isn't he?
Yeah.
What else do we know about God?
We know that he loves us.
He does.
He never, ever leaves us.
That's true.
What in God's story?
It's a very long story. It's like more than 119.
What do you think God is worth? Is he worth more than anything on this world?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
More than 100 pennies, $100, 100... Curse 100 nickels and 100 dimes.
He created all the colors.
All of the colors. What's your favorite color?
Pink. And purple. And red.
Very good.
And orange. And yellow. And green. And blue. And purple.
That's all of the colors.
Where's the biz?
My active all of life
response
to the worth of who God is
and what he does.
All right, so worship, what is worship? Go ahead and answer that question, talk about it amongst you. Let's hear from Midge. Way to go, Midge. Way to get that job. I thought, we in trouble. Go ahead and talk about that for just a minute, and then we're going to jump right into our message. And as soon as you get a good answer, again, kids, you can go to Expedition Kids. All right, go for it. No. Adults, you talk to each other too. You don't have to just talk to the kids. That's, we're like, phew. Praying
and talking about God.
Talking about God and praying. It's awesome. Good. That's a great answer. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Kids, you can go. We love you. Thanks. They're headed out right now to worship in their own service. If you want to go with them, here's your chance. All right? You can. Wow, so worship, man, when you hear that word, you think, what? You know, like all kinds of things might come into your mind, you might think about. What is biblical worship? Now, here's the thing. I promise that it's not just the songs we sing. It's not just a church service you attend on Sunday morning. That's really not it at all. Worship is more than the things that we do. Worship is actually an expression of the heart. Expression of the heart that honors God and puts Him first in our entire lives. It's a life dedicated to God. Now, that's what we see when we talk about this habit of Jesus, this Jesus habit of inspired worship. Jesus modeled worship with His life. His words, His actions were loving expressions of reverent service. He gave God honor. He gave him glory to the Father in heaven. So we talk about worship, man. We look at Jesus' life and we can see a perfect model. Now, Jesus had some words that He used for worship. These were two of His favorite words when it came to worship. The first one is latruo. Latruo, it means to serve for hire, to minister as a priest, to provide religious service or honor. Jesus used this word a few times, especially at the beginning of His ministry. He goes off into the desert for 40 days and He is fasting and things are just about to get rolling and Satan comes to tempt Jesus. He tempts Him in a couple different ways and then by the third time, Satan's trying to derail His ministry, trying to ruin everything for Him and for us. And by His third temptation, He tells Jesus to worship Him. If you will worship the devil, He can have all the kingdoms of the earth. And Jesus responds with scripture with this word. He says, worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. Worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. Jesus was making a statement here that He would not serve, He would not worship, He would not give honor to Satan, but to God alone. The second word that Jesus uses, He uses a lot more times. It's the word proskuneo. Proskuneo, it means to kiss towards. It's a kiss towards somebody in honor, in reverence, in respect. And Jesus uses this word a lot. My favorite place is in the book of John, chapter 4. John chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there and kind of look at it. We'll have some of the words on the screen as well. But John chapter 4, what we're going to do is we're gonna pick up where Jesus is having an interaction with a woman from Samaria. It's a Samaritan woman. Probably shouldn't have been talking to her in his culture, but Jesus was like that. And he was just kind of sharing with this woman's life. And she's very, very impressed with Jesus as a prophet. And she voices a concern to Jesus about worship. And I know that's never happened around here. No one voices concerns about worship, but she does. She's got a statement for Jesus. And in verse 20, here's her words. Listen to what she says. Our ancestors, meaning her ancestors, worshiped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. This is about the time and the place of worship. And Jesus responds this way. Woman, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship. There's that word, worship, to show honor, to respect, reverence. You will worship the Father, but neither on this mountain nor that mountain. All right, is anyone here expecting a phone call? All right, I know y'all hear that. It's left, right up. It's not mine, I promise. Let's go back to John chapter 4. All right. Sometimes I get a little distracted. Even when I'm reading the Bible, all right. So, John chapter 4. Look at verse 22. You worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Verse 22. You Samaritans worship what you do not know, and they didn't. They were worshiping all kinds of things, but we worship what we do know. Salvation is from the Jews. And look at verse 23. And Jesus says this: A time is coming, and has now come, when true worshipers, that's what we all hope for, true worshipers will worship the Father, will give reverence to the Father, will honor the Father, will pay respect to the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. And the woman says, I know the Messiah, called the Christ, is coming. And when he comes, he's going to explain all this. And Jesus looks her in the eyes and says, the person you're talking to, I'm the Messiah. I am he. True worshipers must worship God in spirit and in truth. Well, when Jesus was talking about this subject of inspired worship, he says, plain out, the change is coming. Things are going to be a little different. Maybe you don't understand. But one thing that has to stay the same and will stay the same is that worship must happen in spirit, by the Holy Spirit, and in truth, grounded in truth. This means we recognize who God is. Everything else aside, worship is recognizing who God is, the creator and the ruler of everything, the creator of all, his position, his character, knowing who he is, and showing honor and reverence and respect to God because he is worthy. Now, the word worship actually comes from an old English word. I really love this. It's actually because it captures the idea of what worship is. It's the word worthship. You ever heard this before? Anybody? The word worthship. This is where we get the word worship because worship represents we place worth on something that's valuable to us. And the fact of the matter is we put worth on all kinds of things in our life, don't we? And we might not say we worship them, but do we really worship them? So here's a question, and I just kind of want to throw something out there, maybe an example of technology. And I know you thought I was going to say sports, all right? Maybe some of y'all know me. And actually, technology is great because it gives us sports. But technology, would you say you worship technology? Are we sure? Okay, so let's just say today I ask you to leave your cell phones here for the afternoon, for the evening, and maybe pick them up sometime tomorrow or the next day. How y'all feeling right about now? Pretty good. How many of y'all would do that? Like leave your cell phones here? Wow, awesome. We just put about 30 kids on vans to go down to Lake Aurora, and I think all of them had to leave their cell phones here. And I think that was the hardest part for some of them about getting on the van was leaving their phones here. But awesome, good, you would do that. But okay, what about your TV? How many of y'all just totally flip out when you go home and you can't get Netflix to work? All right, come on, y'all are lying right now. You'd be like thinking, that's not happening. No, maybe not, I don't know. Netflix, okay, video games. I'm sticking with technology here, all right? I'm not a huge video game guy, but I've talked to some of my friends this week, and man, if Fortnite just all of a sudden disappeared off the face of the earth, if you don't know what that is, ask somebody next to you. I think that everybody'd go kind of crazy. Because, man, technology is worth a lot to us, isn't it? We've just kind of adapted that. We need. I don't know if we worship it or not, but we sure do put worship into it. We sure do. And if you think about it, we place a lot of worth and we spend a lot of time and a lot of money and a lot of energy on the things that are most valuable to us. So I have to ask you today, what position of worth does God actually have in your life? Actually have, real life. I mean, we may know that he's God, and we may say that he's God, but does the time we spend and the money and the energy and the decisions we make, the way that we live our life, the habits that we actually practice, the respect that we show God on a daily basis, does that really say that we worship God? Do our habits show that? Because true worship recognizes who God is, his position, his character, and literally puts him first place in our lives. And this is the heart of worship, because our habits, really our habits of the heart. Inspired worship, individually, all of us here, and as a church, inspired worship means that God, his Son, and his Spirit are at the center of all that we do. All that we do, especially at CCW. And I believe Jesus teaches us his best in Mark chapter 10, verse 28, when he's asked what the greatest law, what the greatest habit of all was in the Old Testament. You remember how Jesus answered? He says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. Love God. Jesus teaches that true, authentic, inspired worship is a matter of love. So let's seek to bring him glory by loving God with all that we are, with our heart, our soul, our strength, and our mind. That's inspired worship. So why was inspired worship important to Jesus? Why was this a thing? Why did he... There's a lot of studying we can do and a lot of talking we can do, so I'm going to just kind of summarize it the best I can. Worship was important to Jesus because Jesus, being God, has always existed with the Father in heaven. He came to earth in the flesh. He came to earth in the flesh, but Jesus always knew his Father. He loved his Father, and he had a relationship with his Father that was eternal. It was intimate, and it was worth everything. It was worth living for, and it was worth dying for. Jesus had that kind of relationship. Go look at John chapter 1. There's so many great things in John chapter 1 to talk about the Word. The Word was with us, was with God since the beginning. And at the beginning, Jesus was, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So if you look at John chapter 1, I just kind of want to zero in on verse 14 and verse 18 because this captures this idea. The writer says, John says, the Word became flesh. Jesus became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So God comes to earth, puts on flesh, and look at verse 18, just carefully. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. I'm going to read that again. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, and is in closest relationship with the Father, he has made him known. Being fully God and fully human, Jesus is in the closest relationship with the Father. Jesus knew who God is, and this caused him to adore him, to respect and honor his Father in heaven for who he is and who he was, and worship him by living a life of inspired worship, surrendered to his Father's will. Because he is worthy. God is worthy. And Jesus modeled that and lived that right in front of us. Jesus taught that inspired, authentic, true worship is a matter of love. And he brought God glory by living for him with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his mind, with all of his strength. So how did Jesus worship? How did this actually happen? What habits did Jesus have when it came to worship? This was a great study. I'd encourage you to kind of look through. You're going to see some different ways. But what habits did he have? And how did Jesus show love for God? How did during his lifetime? There's a number of different ways, but here's just a few to kind of latch onto. The first one is this: Jesus practiced worship habits in worship places with worship people. Worship habits in worship places with worship people. You could say Jesus went to church. He grew up around it. It was just an amazing, you kind of look through, you see places in John chapter 5, verse 1 and 7:37 in John. You see in Luke chapter 4, we see Jesus honoring God at the temple. We see him teaching and reading scripture in the synagogue. We see him practicing the Sabbath worship. Many times in Jesus' life, in fact, many of his life events took place at the temple and during times of festivals and feasts. This was important to Jesus. These times, these worship times, these worship places with worship people. He was always doing it with others. And Jesus prayed. I love this. Prayer is worship. It's connecting with God on a personal level. And Jesus modeled this. He got a way to connect with his Father in heaven. We see at least 30 unique prayers of Jesus in his biographies. From the beginning of his ministry to the end, we see him praying. In John 17, I love this. Jesus is praying for his disciples and he's praying for all of us. We see him in the Garden of Gethsemane before he goes to trial and to the cross. We see him crying out for his life to God. We see him on the cross. He is still praying. He's saying, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. He's saying, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus is a man of prayer and he's praying to connect with his Father. And I love Luke chapter 5, verse 16 and Mark 1:35, where we see Jesus getting away from the crowds, getting away from all that's going on and getting away early in the morning to pray and to connect with his Father. And Jesus actually taught his disciples how to pray. Some of you know this from Matthew chapter 3, verses 9 through 13, the Lord's Prayer, we call it. This is a great way to pray. Jesus taught us to pray this way as an act of worship. So if it's okay with y'all, I just kind of like to do this today. Can we all participate and kind of read this together? This is the New International Version. If you know the King James, or you say, with our Father, you know this, our Father who art in heaven. Let's do this together. Ready? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Kingdom and the power, glory forever. Amen. As a prayer of worship, every line of it, honor, respect, it's a kiss towards our Father in heaven. And Jesus taught us to pray because prayer is worship. Last week, Patrick talked about serving. John chapter 13, we see Jesus worshiping God through his service. And it's just a phenomenal way that Jesus taught us to connect and to serve God with honor and respect, was to serve him and serve others. And one particular place, Matthew chapter 26, 17 through 30, Jesus shares his last supper with his disciples. We call it communion. It was an act of worship that they would do together. And we're going to practice that in just a couple minutes. We're going to have communion together. We're going to share the Lord's Supper just like Jesus did and just like Jesus instructed us to do. What you might not know, this was kind of a really cool thing, was did you know Jesus sang? Did you know he sang? It's right there, Matthew 26, verse 30, right after they had the Lord's Supper together, it says, Jesus sang a hymn with them, and then they left. A hymn. Now some of y'all are saying, see, I knew it. We need to be singing more hymns in here. I see some of y'all going, what's a hymn? I don't know what that is. Like, you know, what's that even mean? So hold on a second, just slow down. A hymn is a spiritual song. It's a praise to God. And Jesus sang one with his friends after dinner. And I got to believe this wasn't the only time Jesus sang to God with his friends. And with respect to all these habits, with respect to the things Jesus did, the ultimate way Jesus worshiped was with a surrendered life. A surrendered life to God and to God's will. And that's why Jesus is the perfect model and object of our worship. From his birth to his baptism, his crucifixion, and his rising from the dead to his ascension. While teaching, healing, doing miracles, his willing sacrifice on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, Galatians chapter 1, gave himself, he gave his life for our sins to rescue us from the present age and its evil, according to the will of our God and Father. Jesus worshiped with his life, a surrendered life. He taught us that true, authentic worship is a matter of love, seeking to bring glory to God by loving him with all of his heart, all of his soul, all of his strength, and all of his mind, which leads us, his followers, to live a life of inspired worship. His followers, that began right away. We go all the way back 2,000 years. I love this. Christ's followers in Jesus' day were men and women who saw with their own eyes Jesus walk in the earth. They saw his perfect life. They saw his miracles. They heard his teaching. They saw him tried in court. They saw him beaten and crucified. And then they saw Jesus again, risen from the grave. They saw it with their own eyes. They walked with him. They talked with him. They ate with him. He came out of death and back to life. And to them, this proved that Jesus was exactly who he said he was, that he was God. Proves it to me too. When you come back from the grave, after you have done miracle after miracle with nature and everything else, you get to be God. And Jesus did that. He proved that he was God when he rose from the grave, and they saw it with their own eyes. So even before Bibles, even before church buildings and electric guitars and air conditioning and all of this, Jesus followers began living Jesus-inspired worship by the power of the Holy Spirit and grounded in his truth. We see it in the scriptures. We see it back in Acts chapter 2 and all through the New Testament. But I love verses 42 through 47 in Acts 2. These early Christ followers, the first church, were devoted to the apostles' teaching. Hopefully this will sound familiar to you. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Jesus habits. They were filled with awe. They were just respect and honor and glory to God, awe. And they sold their stuff and they gave to the needy. Every day they met together in the temple. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together. They praised God. They enjoyed the favor. Did you catch that? They praised God. And they enjoyed the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And 2,000 years later, here we are today. You and I, in this moment, all of us here at CCW, living Jesus-inspired worship. Jesus-inspired worship. It's to worship God through Jesus Christ our Lord, the Son of God. And he is the same God today as he was then. You know that. He rose from the grave. He lived before our eyes on the pages of Scripture. The Son of God came to earth. He lived a perfect life and he died on the cross to prove his love for us, to forgive us of our sins. And Jesus, yes, that same Jesus rose from the dead so that we can have new life, that we can truly know him, truly worship him, truly love God for who he is forever, today, tomorrow, forever, and into eternity. It's inspired worship because of who God is. He is holy. He is powerful. He is loving. He is worthy of fear. And mercy. We know that he's merciful. So we give thanks to God and we live for his son, Jesus. Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Jesus, John 14 tells us. But the great news too is that we can get to the Father through Jesus Christ. And we get to worship him with our lives. So for you and I today, living Jesus-inspired worship means living our lives to confess and to praise the name of Jesus. We live to celebrate him, to serve him, to remember him, to honor him, to love him. A kiss towards him every single day, together, individually in our lives. And as a church family, we meet together as one to do what we hopefully do all week long, to worship God. We do that in singing. We do that with music. Prayer and celebration and fellowship and teaching. We serve and we eat together. We give generously. We see needs being met. We share the Lord's Supper together every week. And we see people saved. And there's nothing like seeing someone in that baptistry giving their life to Jesus once and for all and forever and walking out of that water a brand new creation. Man, inspired worship. It's not a thing we just do on Sundays. It's every day of our lives. And by the way, it's not, I hope you know this, it's not about you and it's not about me. It's all about our God who is worthy. Worship is about him. All of this worship service, the things we do, it's not about your personal preferences. It's not about whether you like the songs or the band or the speaker or the bagels, you know, and all, you know, It's not about the mood that you're in. Inspired worship is about allowing the Holy Spirit of God to lead worship in your life, to lead you in a worship or in a Jesus-inspired life, more than just a couple hours a week. Like Jesus says through Paul, there's so many verses in scriptures we could go to, but I love Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where the apostle says, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of who God is and what he's done and his holiness, and in view of God's mercy to offer your bodies, to give your bodies back to God as a living sacrifice, offer your bodies, offer your lives to him as a living sacrifice. Be holy, be pleasing to God. This is your true, true, true spiritual act of worship. You want to worship in truth? You want to worship in spirit? Give your lives to Jesus. Give your lives to God in worship. There's so many passages in Scripture we could look at that tell us how to do this or show us how to do this. I love Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. Listen to what Paul says. Inspired worship, let the word of Christ dwell in you as you teach and admonish one another. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Give him thanks. And whatever you do, I love verse 17. There are just some great ideas, but listen to this. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, everything you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through the Father through him. Inspired worship. I love this verse because it lets me know that everything I do in my life can be an act of worship to God. You want to play sports? Go play sports. In school, where you work, your family, everywhere you go, and all that you do, be worship. And if you're doing something that you can't worship God while you're doing it, you probably shouldn't be doing it. He says, in all you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. And I catch myself, and maybe you do too. Maybe you're doing something that you can't do in the name of Jesus. Stop doing it. Inspired worship. I love, there's so many ideas here, because living Jesus-inspired worship is something that we all want to do. We want to be true worshipers of him. It's something that we at CCW, we value, and we want every disciple of Jesus to experience. So just a few ideas of how we can do this together. These are pretty practical, maybe some things we can take out with us today. But this Jesus Habits series that we're doing, I don't know if you know this or not, but we do these study guides every series we do. Josh did a great job. Josh McGrew did a great job on this study guide for this series. And maybe you've got one in your family or your small group. And in the back, there are a number of worship ideas, inspired worship ideas. There's practically something for everyone in there. I'd encourage you to grab one at the kiosk or go online and find one of these study guides. There's some great ideas there. In the back is the core value sheet that we gave you. In fact, they're in your bulletins today, these core value sheets. You can check those out. They're in your bulletin. And there's some great ways there to maybe make a plan, not only for inspired worship, but for all of our core values and how to grow in those ways. I want to encourage you to get in the Word of God. I mean, hunt through the biographies of Jesus and see where he prayed. That's a great scavenger hunt to go on. Look at the prayers of Jesus and pray. Spend time in prayer, 5 minutes. Going down the road, everywhere you are, just don't close your eyes, all right? Pray. Take time and speak to God. I want to encourage you to live your life for God by singing to him anywhere, anytime, serving, giving, loving, everywhere, in the car, at home, at work. You know, sometimes, I don't know if you know this or not, but it's summer. It is summertime. It is hot outside. A lot of us take off. We're going to go outside. There's no better time. Don't take off worship for summer. Summer's a time to ramp it up. Don't skip worship services because you're on vacation. Go find a place to worship. Find a church to go to. You're out on the river, man. That's the best place to worship God, in the middle of nature like that. Get outside underneath the stars. You know the creator of the universe. What a time to worship. Everywhere we are, everywhere we go, it's a lifestyle. I love the question gets asked of me sometimes. What are you listening to? What are you reading? Sitting out by the pool? Sit up by there, pull out the book. You know, hey, what are you reading? What are you listening to? Because it probably has something to do with worship. Gives you a good chance to speak. And get involved. Participate. You know, worship is participatory. It's something we do together. Get involved. Don't just sit around. Oh, man, young people, old people, everywhere we come from, no matter where we're from in life, man, worship is something we do together. I mentioned Expedition Kids earlier. I mean, if you're interested in worshiping with kids, worshiping with preschoolers, they're back there singing right now and giving honor and reverence and kissing God right now as preschool kids. Just a few minutes ago, we loaded up like 30, 40 kids in vans. And they're headed, and sponsors, they're headed to Lake Aurora down on Lake Wales. They're going to camp. You know what they're going to be doing at camp? Yeah, they're going to be worshiping. They're going to be learning and growing together. Our teenagers, they worship. Maybe you get involved there. Pray for them, by the way. They're on their way down right now. Next Sunday, we've got about 40 high schoolers and their sponsors leaving for Tennessee. They're going to Christ in Youth Conference. They're getting away. Guess what they're going to be doing? Yeah, man, worshiping. They're going to be learning and growing together, and they're going to come back so fired up. If you'd like to worship with teenagers, but look, it's not about going on a trip. It's not about getting away to get worship. We worship right here, right now, today, and every day in our lives, and especially right now, today. The most practical idea we can give is right now, for the next bunch of minutes that we're together today, to worship God, to give him honor, to give him glory, to make the rest of our worship service here today a kiss. A kiss towards our Father in heaven. We worship a holy, powerful, loving, merciful, life-changing God. And I hope you know him. And I hope you love him. And I hope you will worship him with your life. So right now, as you look across this room, as you come in here every Sunday, I hope that you see the passion that we have for our Father in heaven, especially as we worship together. And every day, especially today, you need to know, I hope you know, God is worthy of everything that we could give him. He is worthy of all of our worship, all of us together. So no matter where you come from today, no matter what your background is, no matter what kind of week you have, especially if you're a guest today or someone that's just kind of, what is all this about? You're just checking all this out. You're not sure about any of this. We hope that you sense God's love for you. And we hope that you sense our love as his kids to our Father as we worship him with our lives. Jesus Habits. He taught us that authentic, true, inspired worship is about love. And like Jesus, Let's seek to bring him glory by loving God with all of our hearts, mind, soul, and strength. Do that. We can do that right now. Y'all want to do that right now? Man, I hope you do. Let's go ahead and stand together. Would you stand with me? And because it's time, we're going to sing. We're going to have the Lord's Supper together. We're going to pray a little bit. We're just going to lift up our voices, and we're going to pour out our love to God. It's going to start here, but it's going to pour out of this building into our community, into your homes, into the places you work, as we worship and cherish the things of God together. We're going to share. We're going to grow for the rest of our morning together. Let's give our hearts and our praises to him. All right, God, please light a fire in us. God, I pray that you would ignite us by the power of your Holy Spirit from the inside out. We worship you. You are worthy. You gave everything for us in your Son, Jesus. So God, right now in the power of his name, God, we worship you and we give you thanks, for you are holy. You are mighty. You are worthy. And God, we want all of you. We want more of you. We want you to just transform our lives again from the inside out, especially now, as we lift up and praise you, for you are worthy. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's